From the Maple View Animal Hospital studios, this is the WHTC Morning News with Gary Stevens and Peg McNichol on 99.7, 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com.
Welcome back to the WHTC Morning News for this Tuesday, March 30th. Tuesday mornings, we have a chance to catch up with what is going on in Washington with one of the two men who represent the Lakeshore in the U.S. House. He is veteran Republican Congressman Fred Upton of St. Joseph, who represents Allegan County. He joins us via the Zoom connection. Fred, good morning and welcome back. We missed you a couple of weeks because of your scheduling.
We missed you last week. I think you were off too. It looks like you got a haircut. You look good. It's a beautiful day. What a nice sunrise this morning.
It certainly is. And I made sure I captured a photo of it for my Facebook and Twitter accounts as well. You can take a look at the sun coming up against the transmitter, as they say, here in Holland. A few things to touch base with you about, Fred. First of all, teletown hall meetings last week and yesterday, getting constituents up to speed about the vaccine. And I like the term that the president uses about the fact that it's going to be available to the majority of Americans sometime next month. Yeah, available is nice. Actually having it in hand is another story.
Well, that's right. And it's, I've been at a couple of vaccination centers now in the last couple of weeks. So it was Friday, we had the governor here in the Twin Cities. I had, as you said, teletown meetings last week and this week as well. Lots of questions out there. How do people get tested? What is the availability? People with pre-existing conditions wondering if it's safe. And of course it is. They've done a lot of trials to know that that's true. And for the most part now, across our district, we're seeing all three vaccines being available. So either the one shot J&J, Johnson & Johnson, or of course the two shot vaccine with Pfizer and Moderna that takes a couple of weeks in between the first and the second shot. A couple of disturbing things, of course, is that as we check in with our hospitals, we've seen hospitalizations double or triple over the last couple of weeks. I saw some numbers this morning. It looks like we have 13 counties that are pretty high in terms of infection rates of those being tested. So we're headed towards this surge. We hope that it's capped here pretty soon. And a lot of cautions are out there that we still need to wash our hands and wear masks and be socially distanced. But I'll tell you, one of the facts that I learned certainly over the last number of days is of those that are in the hospital, most of them, if not all, but most of them for sure, are folks that have been unvaccinated. They are under 50 years old. And of course, that changes here for us in Michigan. Anyone, any adult will be eligible now for a vaccine beginning next week, as most states. And we're expecting sizable increases in those vaccine doses that are available. So we really encourage individuals who have not been vaccinated to check in with their county health departments. They've got websites that are there. You can call our office and we can direct people to either a phone number or a website, but try to get into that queue, knowing that at least if you get that double vaccine, it's still going to be a couple weeks before you get that second shot.
During these teletown hall meetings, Fred, are you getting instances of people just getting fatigued with this with the outbreak, just saying, hey, we've had enough of it? Every time we think we're taking a step ahead, more vaccines, more progress, we're still told mask up, social distance, wash hands and all that. It's almost as if whenever we think we're getting closer, the goal line moves further away.
Well, let's face it, it's been a struggle for the last year, that is for sure. But when you look at us compared to the rest of the world, you look at the absolute lockdowns that are going on in Europe, you look at some countries that are even under 1% vaccinated, you know that we are better off than they are. It's thank goodness we've got the crew here in this country. I'm going to be at the Pfizer facility tomorrow with Senator Stabenow, thanking the many workers that are there to really drive this process forward. I know that they're going at warp speed. I'll use that word that President Trump used quite a bit, but they're going at warp speed to try and produce this. We now have to make sure that us as individuals take advantage of our place in line so that we can get that vaccination, particularly for those under 50, where those hospitalizations now are increasing quite dramatically, and hopefully don't mirror what we saw last fall.
We're talking with Congressman Fred Upton on the WHTC Morning News. Problem Solvers Caucus, of course, you are a prominent figure on that, sent a note to the House Speaker saying, let's get back to normal procedures. It's time to sort of move away from the emergency situation that apparently the House has been in since the new session began at the beginning of the year.
Well, you know what? We all go back to thinking about our old ninth grade civics class, how law is made, how the legislature is supposed to work. Speaker Pelosi streamlined the process really to avoid the committee process altogether. So you miss that debate. You miss those amendments on either the Republican or the Democratic side to try and make a bill better. She was able to steamroll. She changed the rules of the House. But they, thank goodness, those rules are going to expire next week. And we're not going to go back to that, thank goodness. But she's been able to steamroll the committee process and simply bring up these bills, the same bills that she was able to pass last year that didn't go anywhere, but to avoid the committee process altogether when she had a much larger majority than she does today. And as a consequence, it's been frustrating, certainly for the problem solvers, because, of course, you remember that we changed the rules to bring about more bipartisanship. And that's not happened with that rule change that she was able to force through back in January. But that expires next week. And so we're off to the races. Let's hope that we can work together on a number of different issues, knowing that we have real divided government and we got some pretty big issues to deal with, as we all know.
The one issue I think right now has become on the front burner, dealing with the immigration problem. The administration is still having issues with allowing people to see what's going on. When Texas Senator Ted Cruz tried to shoot a video, they tried to block him from that as well. They kept the media away, saying citing COVID-19 concerns. But the immigration situation is even talk about bringing some of the immigrants up to Michigan to ease the crowding from the situations down at the border. It's got to be dealt with, and probably be dealt with when Congress returns after the holiday break.
Well, this has been a long festering issue. It needs bipartisanship to get done. Our Problem Solvers Caucus was able to move two bills, pass them through the House with bipartisan support a couple weeks ago. They are a first step. I would call them low-hanging fruit, frankly. But we need transparency at the border. We all need to know what's going down there, on down there. I've been down there. I know that a number of problem solvers are going down this week. Of course, we saw a very public viewing of a number of U.S. senators that were there this last weekend. Hopefully, it generates some bipartisan support to try and address this situation. Thousands and thousands of unaccompanied minors, most of them untested, by the way, and we know that that infection rate for COVID is close to double digits. All of these issues need to be resolved, and I hope quickly. I know the president has assigned his vice president, Harris, to go down, or at least to look at the situation. I'm hoping that we might be able to address this next month when Congress comes back.
Couple of political questions I need to ask you. First of all, the state co-chair of the Republican Party under some hot water for some comments made. I'm not certain how aware you are of Mr. Weiser's comments. He's been getting some heat about it. And once again, Republicans across the state have to answer, you know, they got to answer questions, maybe constituents. Hey, your GOP state chair is saying things that maybe you are you with them or against them. You know, you got to answer those questions.
Well, I've known Ron Weiser, who is the state party chair, a long time. He called right away to apologize. It was an uncomfortable position that he was in, that's for sure. I talked to my colleague Peter Meyer about it as well. You know, we need to look to the future, not to the past. But we also know that words matter. And civility, of course, is something that I've stood for all my days in the Congress. It's a pledge that I took as a member of the Problem Solvers Caucus, and we need to move forward.
Peg McNichol wants to follow up on that.
Very briefly. I know he spoke directly to you. He also made some comments about the three women in the highest political offices here in Michigan, and you're pushing bipartisanship. He suggested they be burned at the stake. I know it's been passed off as political hyperbole, but given the context with people being tried for threats and possibly assassination-type attempts, you know, how does that help your agenda for bipartisanship move forward, and what can you do to address some of this?
Well, it was inappropriate, that's for sure. I think that he has apologized for those as well. As we have this divided government, whether it be in Lansing or in Washington, we need to put good ideas forward. We have so many issues that we need to deal with. And when you include personal, I'll call them insults, to individuals of either party, it's not productive. It's not helpful. And it doesn't move the ball forward in terms of what most of our constituents really care about, and that is do your job.
And the other political thing we need to bring up, you know, the situation involving January 6th and the impeachment vote. You and Peter Meyer have been facing the music on that in some political quarters, the latest coming from Republicans in a district that's represented by Democrat Brenda Lawrence right now in Ottawa, in Oakland County. They're saying the state Republican Party needs to censure both you and Peter for basically voting your conscience. Hey, you've been through the fires before in the past politically, so maybe it doesn't affect you as much. I'm hopeful. Well, we'll see whether or not it affects Peter along the lines as well.
Well, you know what? Again, we need to look to the future. I noticed this last week that former Chief of Staff President Trump was pretty critical of the president. He was among those leading officials that actually stepped down, as did Betsy DeVos, as did the Secretary of Transportation. The former Secretary of Defense also criticized the president's remarks in terms of where he was and what he did on January 6th. But for those of us that witnessed firsthand the situation, it was a terrible day. We need to move forward as certainly those folks were not greeted with hugs and kisses. I talked to one police officer who was tased, who was in essence kidnapped from the Capitol, beaten unconscious, suffered, a heart attack, tased seven times. And literally on the tape, on his body cam, you can hear people saying, shoot him with his own gun. This was not a friendly crowd, and not a typical rally that you'd see at a convention or something like that. This was a very ugly mob that really tried to subvert the electoral process that America has stood for a long time in terms of a peaceful transition from one party to the next.
One final thing, and I'm going to bring this up because I saw this in our wire. 40 years ago today, we almost lost President Reagan. It was the assassination attempt. I forgot to duck, was his words to his wife on that. But he survived that and went on to become, for two terms as president. You worked in his administration during his time, but still, it's been 40 years.
I remember that day well. I was in St. Joe. I can remember, you know, later on, I did work. A couple months later, I started working for the Reagan administration. I can remember talking to Dave Stockman's mom, who's still with us. God bless her. She was very concerned because she knew that others were injured. And she was very worried that her son, then congressman from our district, was among those that were injured. Thank goodness he was not. But Reagan recovered. He was a great president. He didn't care who got the credit. He worked with the Democratic Congress. And when it came for reelection, he won 49 states.
It was the second election in 1984 with Walter Mondale as the Democratic challenger. Fred Upton, We appreciate your time and your answers to our questions. Wish you and your family well over the next week or so. And if all goes well, let's do this again next Tuesday morning.
It'll happen. Thanks. Have a good evening.
Thank you very much. Have a very blessed Easter to you as well. Fred Upton, 99.7 and 1450 WHTC.